This morning, our sermon is going to come from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And the sermon is going to particularly focus on verses 3 through 7. But if you'd like to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read. So hear now the holy word of the living God. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete does not crown unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, our God, we thank you that you have given us abundant grace in Christ. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who enlightens us to understand your truth. And so we pray, Lord, that you would grant us understanding in your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would give me grace as I preach your word, that you would speak through me to your people, that as I speak, Lord, they would not be my words, but they would be your words to us. And I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, as I look out among the congregation of the Lord this morning, I see that these pews are filled with soldiers. Now, I know we have a few of our members here who are serving in the, or have served in the military of the United States. But each one of you is a soldier. You are a soldier in the Lord's army. Did you know that? The Church of the Living God is a military. Now, our weapons aren't the weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the flesh. We don't fight our war with guns and airplanes. But you are an army. Maybe you may remember when the Lord came to Ezekiel 600 years before the time of Paul, when Israel was at its low point, and he said, Israel, right now, my people are a spiritual desert, but I am going to raise up a new people. And the Lord gave Ezekiel this wonderful vision in this valley with all these dry bones. And Ezekiel speaks, he preaches the gospel, and all of a sudden, these dead bones rattle and they start coming together and flesh forms. And all of a sudden, there's this multitude of living, breathing human beings. And do you remember what they were? What this group of people was? It was an army. The people of God is an army. And so this morning, as Paul is writing to Timothy, and as the Lord is speaking to his people, Paul is reminding Timothy that he is a soldier. And so he says, I want you to be strengthened in the grace of Christ for your calling, to fight as a soldier. And Paul uses this language with Timothy in both of his letters. In his first letter, he told Timothy, fight the good fight. And then a little later at the end of this second letter, he tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. So press on behind me. He's reminding Timothy that he's a soldier. But he's reminding Timothy that he's a soldier. As he reminds him that he's a soldier, he reminds him that soldiers, being a soldier, is tough business. And it's going to involve suffering. So he leaves him with three proverbs, three words that we're going to look at this morning. And in these proverbs, he's reminding Timothy to suffer as a soldier and to serve as a single-minded soldier, as a disciplined athlete, and as a hardworking farmer. And so that's the word this morning. As you have been called into the service of Christ, serve as a single-minded soldier, as a disciplined athlete, and as a hardworking farmer. So Paul begins in verse 4 with the first proverb. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Now, if you're in the army, you have an objective. Just recently, this past week, America was celebrating D-Day and remembering the work of the soldiers. And if you've studied that operation, you know, these men were dropped from the sky. They were landed on the beaches of Europe with one objective: to defeat the enemy that had taken over Europe and was threatening the world. They had one objective. And as those men were landed, right, they had that one objective in mind. If those soldiers had landed and said, you know, I think this is a pretty nice place, France. I've never visited France before. Let's take a few days to enjoy the sights of Normandy Beach. You know, they would have failed in their mission. No, they had a task. And so so Paul here reminds him that when you are a soldier, you have a task. Now, when you're in the army, you get marching orders. Remember, you are in a war, and you are at an objective. We have a real enemy, Satan. And Satan uses the world and the flesh to try to accomplish his purposes. But you are in the army of the Lord Jesus. And our marching orders were given at the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Go make disciples of the nations and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. Your mission is to extend the kingdom of the Lord Jesus and to let his glory come down in the earth. And that glorious scene as you grow to be like more like Christ. So what's the aim of your service? Is to become more like Christ and to see others become more like him. That's the mission. And Paul knows that there's a real danger to get distracted, to get sidetracked in businesses. You know, what are the temptations that challenge you? Well, we can be tempted to think that the purpose of our life is to be comfortable now, or that the aim of our life is to amass all of the material wealth and blessing that we can in this life. You know, that's the voice of the culture, isn't it? Right, the one who gets the most toys is the one who wins the game of life. But that is not our aim. Now, the Lord can bless his people with material blessings. The Lord can grant you physical and temporary comfort. But your aim in this life, the purpose of your life, is to become more like Christ and to see his kingdom extended. And so all of the blessings that the Lord bestows on you, the material blessings, the physical health, and those things, are to be used in service of the aim. So Paul says, remember the objective. You need to be single-minded, a single-minded soldier. How often do you wake up in the morning? Do you ever wake up in the morning, how often do you ask yourself, what is my mission today? What is my mission? It's a good thing to remind yourself on a daily basis. It's a good thing to remind one another of. What's your mission? It's to become more like Christ and to serve him in the advancement of his kingdom. And Paul reminds us in this as well that you are that your aim is to please the one who enlisted you. Your aim is to please Christ in your service. If you are a soldier in the U.S. Army, your aim is to serve the United States. If you were an army soldier in the Roman government, your goal was to serve the emperor. But you are in the army of Christ, and your aim is to please the Lord Jesus with a single mind. So remember your mission. And remember that you're surrounded by distractions. Remember Jesus in the parable of the sower says that there were seeds that were sown that began to grow up and then were choked out by the thorns. And then as he's explaining to his disciples, he says, those thorns are the cares of the world. And those seeds sown were those who heard the word, but then they were choked by the cares of this world. Now, we've got many cares. You've got cares. You have bills to pay. You've got cars with repairs that need to be made. You have vacations that you're planning. There are cares in this world, but don't let them choke out your faith and your mission. Remember your aim and be single-minded in your devotion to Christ. And you know, it's hard to be single-minded. It's hard when you have these pressures pressing in on you and the world calling you to set your aims right on this life. It's hard, but there's grace in Christ. There's grace in Christ. Well, Paul reminds Timothy not only to be a single-minded soldier, but he reminds him that he needs to be disciplined. He's going to have to train as a soldier, like soldiers in the U.S. Army train. Right? You go to boot camp for training. And then in your service, right, you go and you meet with your troop to train and prepare for action. And that's what Paul's point is in the second proverb. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, Paul spent time in Corinth there for a couple of years, which hosted a kind of Olympic Games. There was a famous Olympic Games that were hosted in that area, and he undoubtedly saw that. When you competed in the Olympics, to be an Olympiad, there were certain rules that you had to follow. And one of the primary rules was that you had to go through a period of 10 months of training in order to compete. And then when you went to compete, you had to take an oath that you had gone through this training. And so Paul's reminding him, if you are going for the prize, right, of Christ being glorified in you, in your witness, and in your life, then you're going to have to train for that. You have to compete. Right? According to what you're going to have to train. How does an athlete train for a marathon? Well, you have to get up every day, and you have to run, and that training can be strenuous and difficult. My brother and his friend some years back were going to run a marathon, and I thought, I'm going to train with them. It might be an interesting thing. It didn't take too long for me to find out just how much, how difficult, how much is involved in training for a marathon. First, there's the dedication of time. As you begin, running first, 2 or 3 miles a day, it takes you 10, 15 minutes. But then as you increase your mileage, you have to block off an hour and a half to run that 10 miles, that 15 miles. it takes time. And so it does, as you discipline yourself in your training, for the Lord Jesus, it takes time. And then, of course, it takes effort. When you're on that 13th mile and you know you have three more to go and your body is telling you you're tired and it's time to quit, you want to give up. Right? It's tough training. And so it is, as you train for the Lord, it can be difficult. How do you train? You train through diligent prayer. And it can be tough as you get up, as you're tired, and you get up to pray, or you stay up to pray to the Lord, and you just want to go to sleep. It's tough. To read the Word, to study it, it takes work and effort. But Paul says the life of a soldier of Christ takes discipline, and it takes training. In order to be an effective soldier, you need to be trained. And as you are engaged in the race, as you're engaged in the fight, you can't cut corners. You know, as you're running the race, it's going to be tempting to take a shortcut to the finish line. But you become disqualified by shortcuts, right? You have to follow the rules. And it's hard. And this is why Paul reminds Timothy to be disciplined in his service, to be disciplined in his training. And it's hard. It is tough. And on your own, you don't have strength to run that race. Within yourself, you don't have that discipline. But there is grace in Christ. Serving Jesus involves suffering and hardship. But there is grace in Christ. Well, thirdly, Paul reminds Timothy not only to be single-minded, not only to be disciplined in his service, but to be a hardworking farmer. The Lord Jesus' soldiers are like hardworking farmers who share in the fruit. He says it is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. You know, serving the Lord Jesus is like being a farmer, because you sow the seed of the word as you speak it to one another, as you teach your children, as you share with your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, your family. You're sowing the seeds of the gospel. And you're watering those seeds as you pray for one another, to uphold one another, as you pray that Christ would be formed in your brothers and your sisters, your parents, your children. You're watering seeds. You're watering seeds as you're working, as you're speaking words of encouragement, as you're engaged in the labors of the church. But you're looking, your aim is the fruit. As you sow the seed, as you water, and as you yourself drink from Christ, the Lord promises to produce a fruitful harvest. And that is what you're looking out for. I don't know how many farmers we have here, but farming, likewise, can be tough work. You know, it's through hard, back-breaking labor that you till fields, and it's through work that produces soreness and weariness that you plant and that you weed and you prune and you water. And the word here that Paul uses, hardworking, is actually the word for being weary, or being tired. So, a literal translation of that would be the dead tired farmer is the one who will share in the first of the crops. It's through that difficult work that the fruit comes. And you know, serving the Lord, running after him, serving him, laboring for his kingdom, encouraging, exhorting, that's hard work. And sometimes you might feel beat up. Do you ever get to the end of the day and just feel weary and beat up as you're serving the Lord? And Paul says, that's okay. That's to be expected. But you will share in the crop. Now, as you serve the Lord as a single-minded soldier, as a disciplined athlete, and as a hard-working farmer, know that the Lord has promised great life, and he has promised full rest and enjoyment of that harvest. There's a prize at the end of the race. There's a victory at the end of the war. There is fruit at the end of the harvest. And in the meantime, there's a need for single-mindedness, right? There's training, and there's wearying work. But there is grace in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus supplies grace for you as in your work as his soldier. And that's because the Lord Jesus, as the master of his army, the head of his body, is not an armchair general, but he was the single-minded soldier. He's the one when he was on this earth, on his mission, he was single-minded in his purpose of bringing salvation to you. As he came, there were many temptations. Many people were drawing him to stay in the towns. There were many things calling for his distraction. But what did he tell his disciples? Let's go to the next town because I have come to preach the gospel. And then as he nears Jerusalem, right, as people are calling him to use his miracles and use his gifts to assert establish a political kingdom now, he's tempted with distractions, but we're told in the gospel that he sets his face like flint to Jerusalem, and he goes to suffer and to die, knowing, right, that at the end there is victory. And the Lord Jesus is not only the single-minded soldier, but he was the disciplined athlete. And he was the one who came and ran the race in order to win his bride, in order to win the prize of the inheritance of all the nations, of a great people. And he knew the rules of that race were the cross, the suffering, the cross, and the grave. But he competed and went through. And for the joy of the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame that came along with it. And then he entered into that joy. And now, from the heaven, he pours out his grace upon his people to enable you to run that race behind him. And he was not only the disciplined athlete, but the Lord Jesus was also the hardworking farmer. He is the sower, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, who sows the seeds of the word. He's the one who sowed the seed of the word in your heart to bring you to new life. And he is the one, he's not only the sower, but he's the grower. He's the one who waters his seed, who waters you with his word, and waters you with his Holy Spirit, and gives you from the fountain of himself. He supplies everything you need. He tends you, he prunes you, so that his glory will be seen in you. And he is going to reap the reward of that great fruit of his life in you. But he did it through blood, sweat, and tears. The blood he shed on the cross, the tears he sweat in Gethsemane, and the tears that he offered up, as the writer of Hebrews said, on the cross, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications for you with loud cries and tears. But he did that for the great harvest that is to come. And as you draw from his grace, and as you serve him in his army as your commander, then you are going to share in the glory of that harvest. You're going to share in the glory of that victory. You're going to share in the glory of that prize. So, you, Church of the Living God, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ, and serve him with single-mindedness. Serve him, run that race, looking to him, the author and finisher of our faith, and labor in his fields, and share in the glory of the harvest to come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we exalt you, we praise you, we thank you indeed that you are our Savior and that you have poured out on us grace upon grace. We pray that you would strengthen us with your strength to serve you in your kingdom, in your army. And we ask this in your name. Amen.